This is Mae Brussel, and it's broadcast number 678, December the 3rd, 1984, Side 2. Continuing with the book, The Last Hero, Wild Bill Donovan, Anthony K. Brown wrote it in 1982. I want to jump from the OSS days, 1941 to 45, to when the war was over in May of 1945, on page 795, and for about four pages in the book up till 799, I want to share with you information from that chapter, Farewell the Tranquil Mind. This is on the demise of Donovan, and he's describing or summarizing his career. The period from 1941 to 45 is essential because from the time of Pearl Harbor and the OSS was formed, there always was that secret desire, really, to fight the Soviet Union, not to be fighting Germany. So by 1943, when the Nazis go underground and Mr. Allen Dulles is sitting there in Bern, Switzerland, making deals with SS Karl Wolf, who's running Treblinka at the same time that he's working with American intelligence, and Himmler's agents are working with SS Karl Wolf as a liaison of Himmler and Hitler, it isn't any coincidence that what came out of all this was a continuation of the policies taking place at the time. And it explains why Reinhard Gehlen was knighted by the Vatican as soon as the war was over. Here is a man who wanted to starve 40 million and make slaves of 50 million, who puts on an American uniform, and we grab his expertise. And James Eggleston was knighted. Our warriors were knighted by the Vatican. William Donovan was knighted. William Casey. They were very important to what the Vatican was going to do after the war, not what it had done in the past, but getting ready again for the next takeover, the next war. And their warriors were to get their honors for their past performance to make sure that they danced to the masters later. And this is terribly important to reiterate because of the decision-making that they've had in the years since World War II. Now, that other side of the triangle, getting back to what last year, Wild Bill Donovan, it says that in May 1945, when the war in Europe was over but a few days, maybe hours, the war was over May 8th, 1945, a small group around William Stevenson, known as Intrepid, formed a company known as the British American Canadian Corporation. See if you think this is a small group or not. The initials are BACC, British American Canadian Corporation, New York-based, registered in Panama. The title remained in use until April 2, 1947, when BAC changed its name to the World Commerce Corporation, which still had its headquarters in New York and was registered in Panama. Now, the transition was that we had the OSS until 1947. And it seems that when the OSS changed its name to the CIA and was phased out, the Donovan Organization was phased out, it emerged as the Central Intelligence Agency in 1947, and then this organization, the British American Canadian Corporation, changed its title to become more global, World Commerce Corporation, because they're going to set up in 47 different countries. It's no longer British or American or Canadian. And the book goes on to say the World Commerce Corporation, whether you want to call it an intelligence organization or not, is open to debate. But they changed their name in 1947, headquarters in New York. What was remarkable about the corporation is that all but one of their first directors and just about everyone associated with it had intelligence connections with the American and British governments during the World War II. These included Sir Charles Hambro, Chief of the Special Operations, George Mule, M-U-H-L-E Merton, M-E-R-T-E-N, who ran Donovan's highly secret and exceptionally well-funded Project George. You can imagine how well-funded that was. It was concerned with enemy penetrations in South America, Donovan's connections to South America. David Mackenzie Ogilvy, one of Intrepid's staff officers, John Arthur Piper, Intrepid's deputy, and Intrepid himself, William Stevenson. And Intrepid is named again in the Torbett document as setting up the Bay, the Tyrol Bay down in Montego Bay, rather, the Tyrol compound down in the Bahamas, which was the network of British intelligence and the Nazis and the United States intelligence agencies after the war. He's part of this himself. His name is there for tax purposes, and all but Hambro used British government addresses in New York and Washington, and the headquarters of the British Security Coordination and the British Embassy were also given. The officers contemplated at formation were Mr. Pepper as president, Ogilvy and Merton as vice presidents, William Hill as secretary. Hill's address was room 3603, 30 Rockefeller Center in New York City, the same address of Intrepid's British Security Coordination Organization. Rockefeller Center becomes the headquarters now for the World Commerce Corporation. Is it any wonder that Rockefeller then sets off and helps establish the Bilderbergers or the Trilateral, the Council of Foreign Relations, the activity going before the war and after the war, decision-making policies, or that Mr. Rockefeller helps put Henry Kissinger out of that intelligence corps with Klaus Barbie and the Nazis into Harvard and then on the board of Chase Manhattan and a spokesman for Rockefeller from then on, making policies today for the non-existent now American-Canadian Corporation. Interestingly enough, they fold in 1962 after Permanex is set up and the operation is successful in overthrowing countries already like Guatemala and Iran and Dominican Republic and the Congo, Belgian Congo, and then John Kennedy's assassination. By 1962, they were well coordinated, and they seemed to disperse into some other organizations, but Permandex was well able and well connected to these people to carry the ball for a long while. This article says, at first, Mr. Donovan played no formal part in the apparent opening or establishment of this group, this World Commerce Corporation, or the British American Canadian Corporation. But his law firm at the time is known as Donovan, Leisure, Newton, Lombard, and Irving, were the legal advisors. So Donovan's law firm set it up, and among the other legal advisors was Otto C. Doering, D-O-E-R-I-N-G. Donovan became a director of the group in October 1947, when the CIA was formed, at the same time that Edward R. Stettinius, former Secretary of State from 1944 to 1945, had substantial financial holdings in the corporation. So while Alan Dulles is over in Bern, Switzerland, working with the international bankers and the Gestapo and the OSS setting this up, Mr. Stettinius, as Secretary of State, is putting money into a corporation that gets off the ground within hours of when the last gun goes off in the European theater. We still had the atomic bombs to drop in Japan. In due course, a number of other prominent people in intelligence and special operations joined the firm. Russell Forgan of Glor Forgan Group of Merchant Bankers, David Bruce's successor as chief of the OSS in Europe, and Donovan's heir apparent. That was Russell Forgan. Lester Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, former deputy chief of OSS in London. Sidney Weinberg, who was to have headed the OSS mission to Moscow. W. Ellisu, E-L-I-S-C-U, a member of Donovan's OSS staff. Lieutenant Colonel Rex Benson of the British Secret Intelligence Group and chairman of the Robert Benson Company, the Merchant Bankers of London, and other people connected with the Canadian Intelligence Service. Now, when it says the Canadian, again, it goes back to this Mr. Bloomfield, and in the OSS, he was in the OSS with Donovan and Dulles and Clay Shaw of the OSS, who connects with the Nazis, the Galen operation. Clay Shaw has that international trademark down in New Orleans. Mr. Bloomfield has a Canadian and an American dual citizenship. Herbert Hoover had American and British dual citizenship. Also, people with intelligence connections, not formally members of the intelligence service, but have an interest in the corporation, included Nelson Rockefeller, former coordinator of Inter-American Affairs, and Rockefeller ties directly to George de Morinchild, whose father ran that Baku Oil, the Rockefellers and Standard Oil wanted in Russia before it became Soviet Union. And it was de Morinchild who was the mentor of Lee Harvey Oswald and Marina Oswald, locating them with the intelligence agents in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Nazi connections in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and introducing him to Ruth Payne, who places Patsy Oswald in the Texas School Book Depository. Nelson Rockefeller is very much a direct part of the Kennedy assassination. Then it lists another person active with this intelligence group. Right after the war, John J. McCloy, former Undersecretary of War Department, and of course, McCloy was a member of the Warren Commission that covered up the Nazi connections to the murder of John Kennedy, and Richard Mellon is mentioned here in Sir Victor Sassoon. Now, Richard Mellon is an important connection to the Heritage Foundation, to Adolf Coors, to the far right wing, the churches today, the Armageddon philosophy, the right wing foundations, and the right wing think tanks. And I'll be doing more on the millions of dollars spent every year to set up foundations such as the one in San Francisco for Edwin Meese, that group in San Francisco, the Fronts and Foundations for the instigating the Cold War, for keeping tab on the Hawks in Senate and House of Representatives versus the Doves. The Richard Mellons play a big part in the Reagan administration, culminating in the 1980s, the politics of the right, the religious right, and that whole ball of wax that is so important to today's events. Mellon, John J. McCloy, who's still alive. Nelson Rockefeller is dead, but David Rockefeller's around, and as I said, they mentioned Sir Victor Sassoon. Now, when the war was over, this is within hours of the last gun in Europe, Frank Ryan, who was active in the OSS in Spain. Remember, Spain was supposed to be neutral. It was the home of Franco and the Nazi network that set up Otto Skorzeny's headquarters in Madrid, that shared apartments with the CIA. Mr. Ryan went from Franco's Spain, very much part of the Liceo Jelly activity in Spain, to England, and he was part of the World Commerce Corporation. He was a president of the group. He was made the president. Then he was taken to London by William Stevenson to meet people in what they call government and intelligence and finance. That means the business people, the bankers, the spy system, and the ruling class that run the country. And Mr. Ryan went to London by, he was introduced by Intrepid, and some of his contacts included Lord Leathers, the wartime transport minister and head of William Corry and Sons in London, the largest coal, lighterage, general shipping and transportation and ancillary business in the world. That's pretty much. Sir William Roots, R-O-T-E-S, the automobile manufacturer. Sir Alexander Korda, the head of the motion picture firms. Moir Mackenzie, deputy director of the Federation of British Industries. Lord Shelburne, the wartime economic warfare minister. Sir Charles and Olaf Hambro, from whom Intrepid hoped to get the diamond business for the World Commerce Corporation, and the Hambros linked to Michael Sindona and the investments in the Vatican banks. Many of these interconnect, but I'm just reading this from The Last Hero. Louis Frank, a partner with M. Samuel, the largest bullion dealer in the world, and one of Intrepid's most important officers. So you get the largest coal dealers and shipping dealers in the entire world, the diamond dealers of the world, the bankers of the world, and they have pretty much control of a lot of going on after the war, during the war. Mr. Samuel, the largest bullion dealer in the world. Okay, Brigadier General Keswick, the head of Matheson's and Company, the large Far East traders, director of Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank, and then that opens up the Asian connections to the intelligence group. And he was vice governor of Hudson Bay Company and chief of the special operations, the intelligence in Asia during the war. Sir Harold Werner, W-E-R-N-H-E-R, the British industrialist. These are people that Mr. Ryan from the OSS set up in Spain under Franco, goes to England after the war, and as I say, Liceo Jelly's activities were strong in Spain, as were Adolf Hitler's and the American investments. And we send Mr. Ryan to England, where he's introduced to these people. Mr. Werner, the British industrialist, I mentioned Geoffrey Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, youngest of Churchill's war ministers, the head of the Fuel and Power Ministry, Lord Beaverbrook, proprietor of the London Daily Express and Evening Standard, Richard Coit, partner of one of the largest firm of stockbrokers, Ian Fleming, head of the Foreign Department of Kemsley Press and second in command of British Navy Intelligence. Ian Fleming, the James Bond, the 007, the daddy of the great spy masters, and again, the connections down to the Kennedy assassination, Montego Bay, and the Permandex operations run for the murder of a president of the United States tentacles back to these people of McCloy, Dulles, Donovan. This is where that triangle from Jelly goes up to the ruling class of Britain. This book is about the British ruling class, not the Morgans and, well, the Mellons are American, and the various American corporations, Henry Ford and ITT and General Motors and U.S. Steel, the American bankers that put Mr. Donovan and Dulles and so forth into business. When you say Rockefeller, that takes over the Chase Manhattan and those connections. But these are the British people that Mr. Ryan is in contact with, a few of them, and they're interlocking connections. Sir Ralph Glynn, G-L-Y-N, a prominent industrialist. Frederick Hudd, the Canadian High Commissioner in London. Lord Sempill, Chairman of the International Chamber of Commerce. Colonel Douglas Dodds Parker, Chief of the Special Operations in North Africa, and in the development of German business in North Africa, where the Grand Mufti, the friend of Adolf Hitler, is to link with British intelligence and Swiss banks after the war. George Taylor, Australian Mercantile Company. General Sir Colin Gubbins, the Chief of Special Operations, OSS. Sir Campbell Stewart, Director of the London Times. Frederick Savarsi, Chairman of the Anglo-Federal Bank, a leading financier. S-Z-A-R, Czar, V-A-S-Y, Zarvasi. All these connections were given to Mr. Ryan of the OSS, of Donovan's OSS. They were given by Intrepid. They were undoubtedly for purely business purposes, yet the heavy loading of world commerce corporations with men in intelligence, plus the intelligence connections of their contacts, made them a source of interest which was not unreasonable or idle. It was to emerge, for example, that a principal contact of the WCC, that's a World Commerce Corporation in Greece, then under heavy communist insurgent attack, was a former member of the Greek and British secret services while in Thailand, which was also threatened. So they had agents in place. If the communists wanted to come to power in Greece, they could move there. They had interconnecting links in every single country. They set their network out in these 47 different countries. They also were strongly related, as I say, to James Thompson, known as the Thai Silk King, who was had controlling the Thailand silk and brocade industry and finance provided by the World Commerce Corporation. And, of course, this opens up all the avenues of the narcotics traffic that the British Empire used for years that then begins to flow between the Italian, the Sicilian, the Southeast Asian, and the contacts that we had through this network begin to bring in the profits for the Nazi Odessa regime through the narcotic traffic. Some clues lie in the World Commerce Corporation, this book says, The Last Hero, again, Wild Bill Dolliman, in a letter sent to General Lucius Clay, the U.S. High Commissioner in Germany. And Lucius Clay was another one that was anxious for this war against the Soviet Union and was working with the Nazis in his control when the war was over. And sent to Robert Murphy, the U.S. political advisor for Germany, to set policy of the State Department after the war. Mr. Ryan defined the general purposes of World Commerce Corporation to the top Nazis and to Mr. Clay, General Clay, to make sure, I guess, they weren't too rough on them after the war. The letter said, in our view, it is necessary to restore the economic balance of Europe through industrial and agricultural production and maintain populations and have internationally exchangeable values. They were to restore the production and continuing processes of the international exchange of goods and develop the World Commerce Corporation and cooperate with private industry and official bodies, that's government and intelligence. Mr. Ryan advised General Clay that the World Commerce Corporation had its head offices in New York, again, Rockefeller Center, and close connections in all of the larger centers of the United States. I guess that would be, we didn't have 50 states then, it was 48. They had offices in New York, connections in all the large centers of the United States. They had representatives in 47 countries, both branch offices and direct subsidiaries, as well as agency relationships. That network was set up while the war was going on, and as I say, within days of when the war was over, the next policy shifted into gears, and this is important. Every large center of the United States and 47 countries, representatives in 47 countries, and their purpose was to procure and distribute and supply financial resources that were reliable. That means checked out by, say, J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI, by the Gestapo, by the think tanks, the public, computer banks, and this is very important later for future analysis of how these think tanks were put together. They would supply, by way of reliable information and up-to-date information, the markets and products and the financial resources of the World Commerce Corporation would be available to them. Well, when Commerce Corporation started in 1947, that means that the entire United States intelligence funding for the apparatus of spying and covert operations and counterintelligence to overthrow countries could be siphoned through the World Commerce Corporation. And this helps explain also why there's so many London connections to various operations such as the medical school down in Grenada or Jonestown or the SLA, the Stanford Institute, the research there, many, many London connections. London and Germany and the United States are a triangle, and then it began to include Japan as partners in distributing, buying, and selling those people that they term reliable. In conclusion, this book says that whether General Clay met the World Commerce Corporation request to open up their office in Germany is uncertain, but the probability was it was opened up because by the end of 1947, when our CIA's got its real muscles, as the Cold War developed in intensity, particularly in Germany, the stockholders and the associations of the World Commerce Corporation had widened greatly among the new stockholders. By 1947, this is your pyramid growing up on top from jelly, the Vatican, the OSS, the SS Gestapo. They widened much larger now. Among the new stockholders were Atlas Corporation of New York, Bacon, Wimple & Company of Chicago, David K.E. Bruce, Ellen McHenry and Louise S.D. Bruce of New York, Corporation House of Ottawa, Cudd & Company of New York, Daniel Domenico of New York, Thomas G. Drew Brooke of Toronto, Harold J. Foley of Vancouver, Charles Glore of Chicago, Joseph Grew, former Undersecretary of State of Ambassador Japan, the Hambrose Bank in London, the Islands Company Limited of Bermuda. You get the picture of the dissemination of the offices and the stockholders now coming out of New York, out of Chicago, out of Ottawa, Canada, out of Toronto, going into Vancouver, out of, you know, the islands in London, the Bermuda, the Leyden, there's another, Leyden Sarin, Sarah Mellenscape out of Pittsburgh, and that is the biggie in the 1984-85 years ahead. The Sarah Mellenscape that quietly began its foundation way, way back within hours of the last gun going off. Admiral Louis H. Strauss, a partner in Kuhn, Loeb & Company in New York. The Trans-America Corporation in San Francisco. The Dorothy Reeves Weicker of New York. Arthur B. Van Bushkirk of Pittsburgh. Taylor McDonald & Company in Toronto. The Hathaway Watson Jr. of New York. Now, a lot of these, you don't know these names. I don't know them. They're all in Dun & Bradstreet and who's who. But these became the major stockholders, the new stockholders, as part of the operation of the World Commerce Corporation that was very neatly setting down the network of what was the OSS and the CIA into the business industries, into the political network, into the intelligence operations, into every center in the United States, and into 47 foreign countries. Then this book goes on. In the United States, the World Commerce Corporation operated through various subsidiaries. You can believe that. Buying and selling such merchandise as cement, automobile tires, barbed wire, rice, shoes, and stockings. Well, you know it was more than that. You know that there was more than those subsidiaries, but those could have been the fronts. Just as in Italy, Licio Gelli's front was a mattress corporation. He made mattresses. And that's what the grand master of the Masonic Lodge, the propaganda Dewey, connected to our highest echelons of United States intelligence and the banking field. It was a mattress cover. So if you say they went into barbed wire, and I'm sure they're going to use plenty of that. Galen was going to use that to put around the Ukraine to starve 40 million. And if you think of Brown and Root, in Houston, Texas, making enough cement to pave the way around the world two or three times for the war in Southeast Asia alone. They were into cement or automobile tires. That was Bebe Rebozo. Down in Miami, and rice stockings. There was more than silk stockings here. The book says in England, it was engaged in similar procurement activities, operating under agreements with Jardine, Matheson and Company, British and Western European trade companies, and a company in turn associated with the banking firm of Morgan Grenfell. By late 1947, again, of that important year when the CIA was formed, and we don't have the OSS, by 1947, the World Commerce Corporation claimed to have opened up trading routes and outlets in Argentina, Lucio Gelli's base after the war, Uruguay, Peru, that's the W.R. Grace Company and the home of this De La Calle, right now the terrorist down there in Peru. We'll do more on him later. In Brazil, in Chile, in Colombia, and Mexico. And through their subsidiaries, their outlets in North America, in India, in China, Ceylon, through the British Associates, it operated in France, Holland, Belgium, Spain, Portugal, Switzerland, and Italy. It acquired the majority stock in Biddle Sawyer Corporation in New York, engaged in worldwide trade in fine chemicals, pharmaceuticals, botanical drugs, waxes, gums, and essential oils. It had a number of leading agencies such as surgical instruments, chemical companies, medicinal soaps, cosmetics, food essences, and other allied lines. In other words, the business network was being set up in May of 1945. That had to have a lot of planning. And by 1947, they were spreading out through these organizations through every state and every country in the world. It goes on, moreover, it also acts as a purchasing agent in the United States for Mr. Gordon Woodruff and Company Limited of London, from India, Tunis, Morocco, and Algiers, and in this connection is engaged in exporting equipment such as road-making machinery, excavating, scrapers, tractors, agricultural equipment, motor cars, and general merchandise. This surely was one of the most interesting corporations in modern U.S. business history, a fine web of the wealthiest, the most blue-blooded, the most influential groups in the English-speaking world. Nor, it must be stated, was it financially unsuccessful. In its final financial statement for 8 months that ended in August 31, 1962, when it was sold for taxation reasons, the World Commerce balance sheet showed total assets of $16 million. Now, they closed up in August of 1962. In November of 63, 1 month later, 1 year later, and several months later, a year plus 2 months, John Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. It's, again, a full cycle of the 20 years, the anniversary of his death, with the Republican convention in Dallas, with the influence of the Mellons and the OSS and the CIA, and the career of Ronald Reagan and his Gestapo pal Errol Flynn, his co-partner in movies. But this little episode in the book on Wild Bill Donovan opens up a network that I was not familiar with, the World Commerce Corporation or the British American Canadian Corporation, as it was mentioned first. But I think it gives you a broad overview of what I've been trying to say. And it, in conclusion, it says, ever since he had seen Germany in the ruins of end of World War II, Donovan espoused the belief that either a communist Germany would rise from the ruins, or Germany would be rebuilt and restored to the democratic community. Whether it was left or right would depend to the extent on the attitude of the Anglo-American Canadian Finance Corporation and business, and the World Commerce Corporation was the outcome of that espousal. And the idea was to put capitalism in as an answer to communist imperialism. But again, that is the total lie. We have traded one dictatorship for the other in El Salvador or in Guatemala, or replacing now the Contras into Nicaragua. We won't be happy till that happens. We have replaced democracies one after the other with a dictatorship, with drug dealing, with narcotics, with the mafia, with gouging out eyes, cutting off tongues, cruelties, beheading, and the training done by the Gestapo working with the CIA and the OSS. It wasn't to make democracy safe for the world. And I want to make that point very clear. It was to put in that same fascism if necessary, because the fascism takes control of slave labor and the masses and their money and their minds. We're on the road to something equal to what they feared as communism, because these people didn't fear Hitler. They worked with Hitler's agents. They knighted him. They promoted him. They incorporated him. And this is the story of America today. It is the result of a mingling of these various agents. Our time is up.